the best Cork sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
Can you believe this?
Have you ever seen a trial like that?
The Big Red Bench
on Cork
Red FM.
Hello and good evening. You are listening to The Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary. And I'll say, lads, that much has happened this weekend in terms of Ga and soccer. There's no Premier League. But, oh, how unbelievable. We seen Arsenal lose last night to PSG in what was probably the most exciting game in I don't know how many years. But in 2016 was the last time a Champions League final went to extra time. But last night changed that, and then it went to penalties with Eze and Gabriel blowing their penalties wide. But in fairness, fair play to them for getting there. But as a neutral point of view, it's great. Like, I get a good laugh out of it, to be honest. I know plenty of Arsenal fans, and they could just be a bit like, you know, they think they're going to win it all sometimes, but it won't work out that way. Let it all work out, as that's a song they all love right now. But sure, we'll leave them off. We'll leave them enjoy the Premier League anyway. But we had Dublin as well, who face Louth today in the football, with Dublin losing to Louth. And they lost recently as well to Westmeath in the Leinster final. But there was no Cork matches this weekend. Our stress levels, we got a bit of a break, but that's not until next week. We'll be back again with the stress levels next Sunday. This time next Sunday, we'll know. How are we getting on? But let's rewind it back now a bit, where we played Qatar in a friendly this week. And one of our lads was giving a red card for absolutely no reason. And it was Moylan. But then Qatar got a red card. That red card was very valid, as it was an elbow to the face to Malumbi. But it's very disappointing, isn't it? Like, Qatar, they're a World Cup side. And, but I'm sure we'll be back. We'll be back after winning 1-0 to Qatar. I'm sure we'll be well able. But now we're going to hear from Republic of Ireland manager Heimir Hallgrímsson speaking to Ben Symes ahead of tonight's game against Qatar.
Heimir, it's obviously a strong opposition this evening. They're going to the World Cup, as we know. You've picked a fairly experienced side, as you told us you do. What do you expect from the game?
It's going to be a tough one. First, of course, they're higher than us on the FIFA ranking, meaning they have been doing better than Ireland in the past. Then it's a well-drilled team. They know each other really well. Playing in Qatar, all of the players are playing in Qatar, in the same teams or against each other, and then they spend a lot of time as a national team together. So sometimes they stop the league, do a break in the league to call in the national team. So well-drilled team, more like a club team than a national team. So we are aware of that, and we need to have a really good performance to get results here today. That's my kind of thinking in beforehand.
Jack Moylan and Jamie McGrath are in from the off tonight. They're in the starting 11. They weren't in the squad originally that you named for this. What was the thinking behind putting them both straight in?
First of all, Jack Moylan did well in Spain. Plus, obviously, we spent 10 days together drilling the tactics, etc. So he knows exactly what we want. And same with Jamie. Jamie is an experienced player, has been with us before. So I just, because of lack of time and time of preparation for this match, we opted to go with more experience than new players. Hopefully, we can give them some time today. It would be nice for these younger guys to have the first cap in Aviva in front of their fans, but we like to win the game. That's what we want. So we go for experience, and let's see how the game pans out.
Is there a chance we could see the likes of Mason Melia, Jade Newmay, these young players, as 8 in total who are uncapped on the bench? Is there a chance we could see them as the game progresses?
Yeah, it depends on how the game will kind of pan out, and, you know, how it is. I don't want them to come in a tough match and put too much pressure on them, but if we can, we do changes. It's 11 changes allowed tonight, so it's always a possibility you can see some of them. Yeah.
Obviously, just finally, you spent a couple of years out in Qatar as a club manager out there. Is there anything you can take from that into a game like this?
obviously I know all the players. I know the culture, so I know maybe the strength and the weakness of the nation, the culture, the players. But apart from that, the thing I can share with them is why they are higher ranked than us and why they are doing good and why they qualified for the World Cup. So it would be their second World Cup. Now, first one was because they were hosting it. Now that they are there because they qualified. And that just shows the strength of the Qatari national team and how a small nation can maximize their potential and win things like going to the World Cup. They have been Asian champions, Arab Cup champions, so they're used to winning as well.
Thanks, Emma. Best of luck, Stephen.
Welcome.
We will now hear from Republic of Ireland debutant Cork's Jaden Ume, and he is from Ringmahon, and he is speaking to Ben Symes after their win over Qatar.
Jaden, in the international debut, a first day out in green at a senior team, just maybe sum up for us how you feel after that.
I have no words, honestly. I don't know not to say it anymore. I'm just grateful, you know. I'm just, you know, it's just such an experience, something special definitely to me and to my family, and I'm just grateful for the gaffer giving me this opportunity.
Can you tell us what maybe goes through your mind when you get the nod to come back up from when you're warming up and then you're eventually ready to come on? What's going through your head in those moments?
Not really. I'm just, when I get the opportunity, I just want to do my best, try my best, and it's just help the team in what I do. And you know, I think I possibly did that. They're pushing me, definitely motivating me, and gave me the right advice that I need on the pitch. And you know, I'm grateful to team it as well.
We saw in the first couple of minutes you got the fans off their seat with a little bit of scale towards the left there, down the right hand side, excuse me. Is that what fans can expect to see from you over a course of hopefully a long career in the Ireland shirt?
Definitely, you know. Once again, I'm a skillful player, I like 1v1s, and you know, this is what I like to do. I know fans definitely like to see players like that, and you know, I'm just happy that the fans like my play style, and definitely it gives me that motivation, it gives me that burst of energy to do my best when I hear the roar.
Obviously, fans saw you for the Ireland under-17 team of the World Cup last year. People have been watching closely along at Benfica, notably that free kick the week got everyone excited. At club level, what are you looking to do now from here on? Obviously, we know the situation with the manager. Are you looking to push on at Benfica at club level, or maybe is it you're looking at a loan somewhere to get first team football?
You know, I can't really have a say on that, but you know, obviously Benfica looking for a new head coach. Once that is selected, you know, we'll probably see what the next steps are for me. And just currently at this moment, I just don't know what it is.
Can I ask you, when you're a boy growing up in Cork, and you know, fellow Ringman Rangers man Kevin Kelleher is on the pitch today as well, maybe you might have imagined this could have happened, but could you ever imagine that you could have stepped out wearing green at the Aviva?
At a young age, that's definitely something I dreamed of, you know, especially being in the clubhouse. These jerseys are all over there, and you know, it's definitely something special to share the pitch with him. You know, he's a great player, you know, what he did in Liverpool, what he's doing in Brentford right now. And yeah, he's just a top-class player, and I'm just grateful to share the pitch with him.
Just looking ahead to next week before we finish, obviously the game against Canada. Hey, Mercedes, maybe looking to experiment a little bit more. Is that one where you're hoping to really nail a place down? Not nail a place down, but looking to really set a marker out and show fans exactly what you can do with more minutes on the pitch?
Definitely, you know, once his decision is made, even if it's not starting and or I'm starting, you know, I just want to just show my best in the amount of minutes I do get, and, you know, just show the staff, fans once again what I can do.
Fair play to the boys in green and fair play to Jaden Ume on making his debut for Ireland seniors. The next match now is June 6th, so this Saturday coming, and it is against Canada in Canada, and is at 12:30 in the morning in our time. Will many of us be up for it? I'm not quite sure. I can't determine to the day of, to be honest, and how tired I am that day. But we're going to move on to a bit of MMA, where I talked to a legend earlier today, and that legend goes by Oisin Brady, who is a kickboxer and is just 20 years old from Castletown Bear. So we have Oisin Brady, who is 20 years old, and he is from Castletown Bear, and he is a kickboxer. How are you? Are you happy to be on the show today, Oisin?
How are we, Ola? Yeah, no, really excited to be on this show now. It's great to be on. How are you keeping?
I'm good, thank you very much. And I hear you're appearing on ITV a homegrown professional fight show, and it's designed by one of UFC's UK fighters. That part had me intrigued. Do you know who it is?
Yeah, so Michael Venom Page. So he'd be quite a big MMA star. And he's after coming from my sort of background in kickboxing, and he's after coming onto the scene in the MMA world, and he's unbelievable. He's really, really making the news anytime he fights. And same thing here. He's after coming across into Total Combat, and he's making the news. We're really pushing this platform into the world scene. So yeah, I'm very grateful that I get to be on this opportunity, what he's setting up for us. And yeah, there's more organizers in this, but like, he's definitely backing this up big time.
No, that's actually crazy, because actually I even know him, and like, I find it so hard to keep up with all the fighters these days. But no, I do know him, to be fair. And you appeared on the show twice. So you fought on the show twice.
Yes, so I had two fights. So around this time last year in June, I had my first fight where I came up against an Olympic taekwondo fighter. He was from England, and we went out there and we had a 3-round battle. And just at the end of the last round of the fight, I ended up finishing him with a spin kick. And then I was lucky enough to be able to go back to the O2 in September, where I got another spin kick finish in the very first round, which went viral. It done its rounds on social media. So after that, I'm back on for a third one now, coming in June 13th in the Liverpool Olympia Theatre.
No, I did see that. I seen the video of you. What is it? Spin kicking someone?
Yeah, it's a jumping spin kick. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
20 million views on it. That is class. Yeah, like a 20-year-old from Castletown Fair. Fair play to you, like. That's class.
Yeah, so it's a funny thing, because like, as I'm coming from the amateur circuit, this is one thing that we do every other weekend and we think nothing of it. However, now that it's in the professional scene, once people are seeing, okay, this is the level of amateur fighters, they're seeing what we can do on the professional scene, and then it's blowing up on social media. So for us, it's something we see every second weekend, but on the professional scene, it's not seen too often. So that's why I did the rounds on social media.
Fair enough. And how long have you been fighting for? Like, since how old?
Yeah, so I've been doing the sport of kickboxing since I was 4. And when I got fighting was around 6. I got beat the crap out of in my first fight, but I stuck with it for a few more years. And then after a while, I won my first national title, which would have been a massive thing for me. Won a couple more. Then I represented Ireland a few times. And then I was lucky enough to win a world title in 2022. But that was after seeing, like, my family would have been very successful in kickboxing. Like, my father, who's also my coach in Iron Health and Fitness in Castanbert, he is a vice European champion. Then my brother watched that, my older brother. He became a world champion in 2016. I watched him. I became a world champion in 2022. And then my younger brother, again, he became a double world champion in 2024 and was voted best mat fighter in the whole world. So he really upped us all. But anyways, it's been from one to the other to the other. And now I have my little brother coming up. I had my sister beating the crap out of me my whole life. So like, it's really one of those things. It's just in the family at this stage.
That's mad. So every single one of you more or less competes in the sport.
Yeah, so at different stages, we'd all done something in the sport. Just the different extremes we did it to, really. That's the difference.
No, that's actually fairly cool. So on June 13th, you're in Liverpool in the Total Combat League. And you are playing, or fighting, I should say, Darice Williams. He's from England. And he is a point fighter, which is a style of kickboxing. What does that mean for you? Like, is it different to what you, like, are used to with just kickboxing, or?
Yeah, of course it's different. So this is what Total Combat presents, okay? So it's getting people from different disciplines of standing striking and putting them up against each other to see who the best style of standing striking is. So for me, I come from a full contact background, which would be in the ring predominantly. So it would be very similar to boxing with kicks as such. This guy would be a points fighter. So he won 6 WACO world titles back to back. And
yes, of course, this guy's going to be fast. He's going to be snappy. However, I believe my standard and my discipline in my sport will hold greater strengths. So I believe I will come out on top with this. But of course, this guy's a winner. He's won all his life. He's been on the English Olympic squad set up. He's good. He's game. But I believe with my strengths, I'm going to come out dominant in this.
And no doubt about it at all. So it's actually only what, like 2 weeks away? Are you getting excited? Yeah. What do you have to do to prepare for it now, like training wise?
So when it comes to training wise, it's a little bit tough. I'm very excited, 2 weeks away now. So one last hard week of training and then we'll have a taper week before. But when it comes to training, we're training 12 times a week. So it's around 6-7 kickboxing sessions, which are broken up into sparring, pad work, technique work. Then what we have is we have about 3 weight sessions, which would be strength and power. And then we have 3 cardio sessions, depending on what our outcomes are. So it's really like it's full on. It's really, really full on. And I'm so lucky to be here at home. Like my sparring partners, I have some of the best in the world, between my younger brother, who is ranked the number one guy in the whole world. Then I have another man called Tony Stevenson, who in my eyes is the best kicker in the whole world. He is one of the most established kickboxers there are. And he's just at our doorstep. So it's unreal. So you have in the gym at all stages, world-class fighters. I have a world-class coach in my father. So it's really amazing, but it's tough. I'll be honest with you, it's tough, but we have one more last week and then we are ready and I'll be so ready for it.
Okay, sounds very, very tough. I could not do what you're doing or what your family is doing. That is unreal. Oh my God. But I seen as well, you called out Darice Williams to see if he'd do 5 rounds. Did he agree to that? What was his reaction?
No, unfortunately, he didn't agree to that. So Darice has been talking. This is my first time now having to deal with someone talking a lot of crap to me. So practically he was telling me I'm not ready for what he's going to bring to the table. So I offered him to the table 5 rounds to see if he was really ready. We never heard anything back from him. He kind of went quiet on that, so nothing ever came from that. But I think that just shows psychologically where he's at and where I'm at.
Exactly.
Maybe he's just trying to get himself in a place where he thinks he doesn't like me. I'm sure after this fight, just like everyone I fight, they'll be nice to me after. They'll be nice to me after, but he's probably just trying to get himself in such a mindset where he hates me. But look, they're all the same. I just need to go out and do what I do on June 13th. I've done it over and over again for years on end, and I just need to do it just one more time.
Yeah, and I've no doubt about it, you will. But I did hear you have a bit of a sad situation. So your twin cousin passed away suddenly at the age of 18. Does he help inspire you as you go on day-to-day fighting?
Look, it's a... Yeah, so obviously I represent, so my cousin Oisin Geelong, he was from Kilbrittain and he was an amazing hurler. He's, you know, my best friend, my cousin, and he tragically passed away in his sleep. And yeah, of course I represent him. Do you know, every time I step into that oval, it's not just me stepping in there. I have another, someone else is with me every single time I'm stepping in there. Not alone am I stepping in there with representing Oisin, and he's in there behind me with me. I have my family, you know, all the Geelongs over in Kilbrittain. The sport they have even shown me every time I've fought, every time I've done anything, it's second to none. They're going to be over there in Liverpool with my family. The Geelongs are going to be there. All my loved ones are going to be there. So like that's really going to inspire me come June 13th. Like, of course, this, I can't say it's an inspiration or anything because it's just the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
But I do represent him. I represent him every single time. I wear my jersey that represents him, Kilbrittain, what he was most proud of, his hurling jersey. So every single time I step in there, he's in there with me.
Yes, and I'm so sorry to hear that, but that's a lovely tribute you're doing to him as well, wearing the jersey with those colours.
Yeah.
Fair play to you. But what makes you different then to other elite fighters?
But what makes me different is when it comes to my preparation. Like, there is no one, this is one thing I'll be dead serious about, when even when I go to Total Combat, there is no one who prepares like me. And it's not just for 6 weeks, it's not just 8 weeks, it's not just a camp, it's the level I put in throughout the whole year. Like, I'm out here training 12 times a week throughout the whole year. There's not 1 week, maybe a week after a fight, I'm not training 12 times a week, but the whole year round I'm training 12 times a week. Like, there's nobody that prepares like me. And this isn't for 1 year, this isn't for 2 years. I've been training 12 times a week for the past 5 years, and even before that I was training every single day, and I'm training with the level you couldn't ask for in this, you couldn't ask for in the nation, you couldn't ask for in Europe. I'm getting the top level in the world between my coaching and my training partners. It's my training is on a different level. So every time I'm stepping into that oval, I know I've done more work than my opponent, and I deserve this more than my opponent. So that gives me confidence. My second thing is, I am, since a kid, naturally skilled. And it's not a cocky thing, it's just I have the ability to fight in me, and I have unwavering mental strength when it comes to if I want to win or not. So those two factors put together, that's what separates me from elite, from good to elite. That's the difference there, Orla.
That's good, to be fair. Strong characteristics there that you have, and no doubt they would make a difference when you're out in the ring, 100%.
I just want to thank my club in itself, like everyone, even between the parents, everyone in my club, the support they put into us is unbelievable. Like, I'm getting messages today on people flying over from Castletown to Liverpool. My club trains me all the time, you know, my father, everyone, my family at home, it's amazing. I also have sponsors to thank, because they're helping me financially between training and traveling. So Martin O'Neill's, after coming on board with O'Neill Construction, and that's definitely helping me between travel and training. It's unbelievable. And if there's any other companies, like, I am a professional athlete at this stage and I represent at a really high level on ITV. If there's any other companies that want to come on board and help us out between training and nutrition, that would be absolutely more than delighted to have them on board.
Well, lads, he heard the man. Help him out.
That's it. Because look, I'm representing at a high level now, and it's all around the world. Between the 20 million views, ITV, Liverpool Olympia Theatre, it's at a high level. So any help, lads, and that'd be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, definitely. No, fair play, Oisín, and thank you very much for coming on to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on, Orla.
Well, the 13th of June in Liverpool, Oisín Brady will be fighting, and you can watch it. You can watch it on ITVX, and it will also be streamed on YouTube Live under Total Combat. And there's not a confirmed time yet, but it is said to be around 8 to 9pm. So best of luck to Oisín from everyone here on the Big Red Bench. And we are going to move on now to a bit of LGFA. So the draws for the group stage of the 2026 TG Cahir All-Ireland Senior Championships have been completed, with Cork hosting Armagh on Saturday, June 6th, before travelling to Waterford the following weekend. Cork LGFA Senior Manager Joe Carroll joined Red FM's Ger McCarthy to discuss the draw and preview a huge fortnight for the Cork Senior Ladies footballers.
The draws for the group stage fixtures of the 2026 TG Cahir All-Ireland LGFA Senior Championships have been completed. In Group 1, the Cork Senior Ladies will host Ulster champions Armagh on Saturday, June the 6th, before travelling to Waterford the following weekend for a meeting with their Munster rivals with a 7:30pm throw-in. Joining us here on the Big Red Bench to discuss the draw and what lies in store for Cork over the coming weeks is Cork LGFA Senior Football Manager Joe Carroll. Joe, how are you?
Good, Gerard.
Your reaction to the draw, first of all, the fact that you're at home to Armagh and now that fixtures had to be moved, and then away to Waterford, your initial reaction?
Yeah, I suppose my initial reaction is, look, we don't have the long journey to Armagh. You know, we go up there in the league and it's a long trip up there and you're going and staying overnight and things like that, which is a plus, like, but we're in an extremely difficult group with two exceptionally good teams. Armagh won those still quite obviously, and Waterford within a point of winning Munster.
Yeah, and you start, as you said, by playing an Armagh team that you beat in the National League up in Armagh earlier in the year. They've since completed the Ulster 3 in a row, beating Tyrone 2-13 to 1-15. The usual suspects here, Joe, are, I would imagine, the players that you're going to have to keep an eye on. Amy Mackin with 6 points in that, Aoife McCoy, but this, and Kelly Manning, this is a serious team with a lot of decent forwards, and a very, very strong team, but it's going to really test you to the limit.
They are going to test us to the limit, looking, I suppose, from where we're coming at now. After a very poor Munster Championship, any team would test us to the limit. So, look, hopefully the few weeks off, that has given us a bit of time to recuperate and a bit of rest into the players, that will come with a renewed energy for this challenge.
Is there much you can take from the National League victory, considering both teams were missing a few players?
Not really, I suppose. Look, I suppose we had Aoife Healy for that game. I can't remember now who else we played and didn't play, and I suppose they didn't have the Mackens, and they were definitely missing that day, so they had probably the most of the rest of them all right. So look, I suppose league is league. That's a long time ago now. I don't even remember what month it was, so it'll have no bearing whatsoever, I said to you.
And what about the trip to Waterford the following weekend? As you said, they put up a real show against Kerry in the Teachy Car Munster final, losing 2-9 to 1-11. They put up a big score on Cork when you last met them in the Munster Championship as well. They managed to accrue 3-18, obviously, this time around. Is this a brand new championship for you, Joe? Is that the way you're approaching it now? It's a new competition.
Yeah, well, I suppose we had to approach it that way because, look, I suppose we had reached the peak or gone to the summit by winning the league, and I suppose the Munster Championship came on us very fast, and we got on after a very bad start to Tipperary match, and we never recovered. So I suppose we gave the players a week off there just to see, you know, could it christen them up a smart bit, because they had played a lot of games and a lot of them involved in college football as well. So it was a long, long period of time without a break for them of any sort. So hopefully that will, like, looking at Waterford is our second game. I suppose we're not really looking that fast at the moment. We're just concentrating on our man, the first game, and, you know, when we get a result in that, and we talk about Waterford.
The Munster Championship, as you said, didn't go the way you or the players would have wanted it, but were there things that you learned from those three games against Tip, Waterford and Kerry?
Yeah, I suppose every game you play, you learn from it. Like, you know, we were extremely competitive in Killarney in the Kerry match. Had improved a lot from the Waterford match, and then we just capitulated in the second half, and they got 3 or 4 points ahead of us. You know, I suppose it's must have found the big crowd behind them, and we just didn't recover from it. So we looked at the videos, and we reassessed it, and we attacked it at this stage and took our learnings from it. And hopefully, like, we have maybe a few players that are maybe back in contention for places now that weren't in contention earlier on, and hopefully that might lighten things up as well.
Yeah, and what about injuries, Joe? I mean, you've said you've had a chance for in between the Munster Championship and now, you know, hosting Armagh. Anyone that would have had lingering injuries, an opportunity for them to clear up as well?
Yeah, look, I suppose we've been lucky. We've had nothing major, bare one or two small things during the year. We've had nothing major so far, so to touch wood, it won't happen in the next 2 or 3 weeks now. And I think that's down to our own fitness and our S&C and our physio and things like that they have been monitoring our load quite well, and we're delighted with that, and we haven't picked up anything within the last fortnight, and, you know, up to their man game now, hopefully we won't either.
These are two contenders you're in with, contenders for the actual title itself. Waterford coming all the time, Armagh will be there thereabouts. Aside from those teams, John, I assume you think they still are contenders, the likes of Kerry, the likes of Dublin, it's the usual suspects, Mayo, who are the ones that you think, the teams that you think will be there towards the end, along with yourselves, hopefully?
Look, I suppose if you look at Munster, Kerry and Waterford are definitely a good bit ahead of even us at the moment. So, like, they are definite contenders. And you look at Connacht, then Galway are out of there. So Galway, like, were very unlucky last year not to go to an All-Ireland final. They could come with a renewed attack again now, because they've had a bit of a break as well, and they don't play as many games as the other teams in the provincial championships. And definitely Dublin and Kildare, I think, looked very impressive. The Leinster final was very, very competitive. Kildare put it up to Dublin, but I thought Dublin finished it very well as well. And, you know, they still have a lot of very good players, and if you were to come back, the likes of Kate Sullivan and Cavan Roy didn't play in that Leinster final, like, so when they get them all back, you know, it's going to be a tough championship. Like, even if you throw in Tyrone up north, they were very tossed their man in those the final, like, it was only a very tight game. So, like, I think a lot of the teams are very, very, very close. Like, even Tipperary, when you look at them, they'll test the teams in their group as well. They have Kerry and Kildare, and they'll be difficult to beat as well in their group.
And this is the thing, Joe, like the boost that your players and the panel would get from coming out of a very, very tough group. You're in there as well as one of those dangerous, you know, opponents that nobody would want to face if you do get into the knockout stages.
Yeah, but I think, Joe, look, we are just looking at first game only, and that's it at the moment. Like we said, that's the note of whether we were playing Waterford or whether we were playing Armagh. We focus on the first game and just take it one game in a row, like we have the two games now within 7 days of each other, which is probably a plus as well, with the match being brought forward today from the Sunday to the Saturday, which will be a help as recovery wise, because 6 days is even tight as it, 6-7 days is tight enough to recover from a heavy championship game and playing two games. But look, we just have to deal with that when we come to it and see how we get on.
I just wanted to ask you as well, because a lot of the games are subject to TV throw-in times. TG Carr have announced this week a new 5-year landmark deal extension with the LGFA to broadcast and commitment to the TG Carr All-Ireland Ladies Football Championships. I understand, I would imagine as an inter-county manager, you're glad to see that it keeps ladies football in the public eye. But this also means that the throw-in times can be altered depending on what TV want. Is that a difficulty sometimes as an inter-county manager?
Look, I suppose once you know it in plenty of time in advance, maybe that's one thing that they should have gone with this, like, because we didn't get it on Tuesday, like, you know. And I know from our point of view it was grand because we're not travelling to Armagh, but from Armagh's point of view, like, the logistics of that, no, a day can make a big difference trying to get things organised from that point of view. So they could have got them out a bit earlier, but like from a TG Carr point of view, like, you have to be very pleased that they are doing that, because they give huge coverage both to ladies football and Camogie and flipping GA and in general, like, and then, you know, everybody's complaining about GA plus, like, TG Carr have been absolutely brilliant for all the people that watch games in the country, whether they be young or old, and especially the elderly people, like, you know, they get great value out of it. They're absolutely fantastic, altogether. They give it great coverage and great publicity, and like TG Carr, like, I suppose, like the local radio stations and the likes of yourself and so on, promote ladies football, like, they're really the people worth it. So I suppose if players and management have to walk around that small, but you can't be complaining.
Good to hear, Joe. Well, listen, ahead of two very, very important games in this year's TG Carr All-Ireland Senior Championship group stages, Cork taking on Armagh on Saturday, June the 6th, and the following Saturday away to Waterford. From everybody here in the Big Red Bench, Joe, the very best of luck with all those games.
Thanks, Joe.
The Big Red Bench, Cork Red FM.
Hello and good evening. You are very welcome back to the Big Red Bench after the break with myself, Orla O'Leary. And we're now going to move on to FTD Brothers, who are making the rounds on Instagram and Facebook, but all for a good cause. So Jordan and Kian is speaking to Ben Symes after they finished marathon number 32 of 32 in Ireland, 33 of 33, including the London Marathon that Jordan ran with a fridge strapped to his back. I wouldn't even be able to walk up the road if a fridge strapped my back, so fair play to him. And the pair were raising funds for the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland and raising awareness of frontal temporal dementia, which took their mum at a young age, and both Jordan and Cian will develop FTD.
Lads, first and foremost, congratulations, 33 out of 33 marathons completed. How's that sound?
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a long time in the making. We probably started making plans for the challenge probably around 12 months ago, conversations around it, and then more formally the last kind of 6-9 months. But I think if we'd have even written what the perfect challenge looked like in advance, I don't think we'd have ever imagined what we actually ended up getting. The support from Antrim to Dublin, as my brother said, has just been remarkable, from local communities in the weekdays. The school kids are coming out, the staff are coming out of hospitals, and on the weekend it's just been absolutely bedlam. So a month we'll never forget, best month of my life for sure, and we'll be back for many a holiday hopefully as well.
You've connected with so many people across the 32 counties, but also even today with so many people in Merrion Square. What's that experience been like?
Yeah, truly overwhelming, to be honest. Like Ian said, I think the scale and the volume of it all is nothing we could have ever imagined. You know, I set about this mission as an advocate 8 years ago, made it my full-time job 2 years ago, made the ultimate sacrifice to chase it with everything I had. And even when you set these campaigns, you have dreams and aspirations to reach as many people as possible, try and captivate as many people's imagination as possible and bring people together. But the way we've been able to kind of get what feels like an entire nation behind us across the counties and then see so many people together supporting us here in Merrion Square this afternoon was just unbelievable, surreal feeling for sure. And I don't think it'll sink in for a long time.
Over 1.5 million raised for Alzheimer's research. I believe you spoke to some important people today after your marathon. How did that conversation go?
Yeah, so 50% of the funds from the campaign go to Alzheimer's Society of Ireland and 50% to our own kind of foundation. And we set that lifetime goal to reach £1 million before we get symptomatic with dementia, and we sailed through 1.5 million on this one, and we hit the million mark after 10 days because the fridge went to viral. So from a financial point of view, we're extremely overwhelmed, and it's exceeded expectations, if anything. And yeah, we had the opportunity to pop to the door at the finish there and welcomed by Simon Harris and other ministers, basically. And yeah, very, very privileged to have had that opportunity, and hopefully an ongoing kind of structured meetings in the future to see how we can actually move the needle for people in Ireland. This is challenges about Ireland, it's not about the UK, and how we can improve welfare for families living with a diagnosis of dementia. Yeah.
Do you want to answer, Jordan, as well?
Yeah, I think like Cian said, you know, as much as this has been about kind of a monetary campaign, we set the target 3 years ago to raise £1 million before we get FTD. You know, I think we're close to the £2 million mark in our lifetime now, which is incredible. But I think it's transcended its initial purpose in terms of raising money. It's lit up conversations all over this country and on a global scale as well. And awareness is even more important than money when it comes to the amount that we're raising. You know, 1.7 million on this campaign sounds brilliant, but when it comes to curing dementia or getting kind of welfare support and services in place, it's a drop in the ocean. And we as two young men from a working class background can't change that. But with uniting communities and bringing people together, we can push for change in places like the Dáil, where we've been this afternoon, to get more budget behind changing infrastructure and bringing about real change for families living with dementia here in Ireland. And that's what this is all about. It's such a powerful campaign. The awareness that we've got behind it and getting so many people to connect with our story is really what we're so proud of, even more than the amount of money that we've raised, which is incredible.
We had you both on the show a couple of weeks ago, and you kind of mentioned that you don't really feel specifically Irish. Can I just say to you, lads, that you are as Irish as it comes, really. Do you have a last message for the Irish people after the month that it's been?
Just to touch on that, really, you know, the fact that, you know, it's the Irish blood that runs through our veins that means we're going to get frontotemporal dementia. We've lost 12 Irish relatives to this, and we feel deeply connected to this place. And it's only through the loss that we've encountered through dementia that we've lost that kind of connection to here, to our roots. And we just can't thank the Irish people enough for getting behind us. And this is just the start. We'll continue to advocate for all of you. We'll continue to make sure that we're not strangers to this island, and we'll be here very frequently. So thank you for all your support.
Can't beat that. Thank you.
So with the day that's in it, we will now hear from last year's Cork City Marathon winner, Evelyn Toomey, who is speaking to Mel of the Big Red Bench.
Around now, and no better woman to talk to than Evelyn Toomey, first female home of the marathon last year with an amazing time of 2:54:30. Evelyn, it is a year on, but congratulations nonetheless. I know your memory might be a bit hazy now of it all last year, but how did you feel? Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. That was quite the introduction. but yeah, no, it's the year has just absolutely flown. I can't believe it's coming around now this weekend again. But it's so exciting. I'll be coming back for a slightly different role this year. But nonetheless, really looking forward to it. It's always a great weekend down in Cork. Great atmosphere.
Yeah. And you mentioned there a different role. You're the tail walker this year. Can you kind of explain to listeners who might not know, what is that?
Yeah, so the whole idea is I'll be the last person coming in this year. For anyone listening that's doing it, you there's no possibility you're going to be last this year. That is for me, and it's going to be an honour, and I'm just as looking forward to it as I was going out last year. So yeah, don't be worried if anyone's thinking, oh, I don't want to be the last person. It won't be you, that's for certain.
Oh, very good. And like, it's not even a time management thing. It's literally just that no one is left behind. It's not that they're rushing people. It's just that you literally will pick people up along the way and make sure that no one finishes alone or finishes
Absolutely.
10 hours later.
And I think the whole thing I'm trying to get across is running for me is just such a joy and it's such a pleasure. And it really is, in the sense that, like, it's my place to think straight. It's my place to kind of process things that are going on. And I think the thing with running is, you know, as it becomes more and more competitive and people are all kind of comparing themselves to all these different, you know, very, very phenomenal athletes. And it's not discrediting, I mean, the incredible standard that's out there. But it's more just to get across the point that, like, you know, any sort of movement is just it's brilliant. And it's for yourself. And, you know, don't be trying to kind of put these goals and pressures on yourself. I think, you know, in my infinite wisdom, as I get older, I think, you know, I've always, when you take the pressure off, you know, the mind is incredibly manipulative. And, like, if you can take the pressure off and just try to enjoy it and try to, I mean, I'm smiling as I say enjoy, because it will hurt, you know. It's 42 kilometers. At some point it'll hurt, but just try to take that pressure off yourself and just enjoy it and be proud of yourself, because at the end of the day, absolutely, and I really mean that, it doesn't matter what time you come in with, it's an incredible achievement. And for anyone not doing the marathon, you know, be it, you know, you've done a park run but it's all, you know, it's all, don't compare yourself to others. I think it's such a thief, and that's what I'm really trying to get across. Mm-hmm. It's just try to enjoy it, and that's the main thing. And I think it's kind of coming at a good time as well, in the sense that unfortunately last year we lost there. I didn't know Ellen Cassidy, but I kind of wish I had. And she was a phenomenal athlete that tragically passed away last year at the half marathon down the Cork City Marathon. And so this will be her 1 year anniversary, and I think from anything I've seen of, you know, of her, and the kind of tributes that have been talking about her, she was just full of that positivity and that light. So I think even we deserve it, you know, she deserves it, that in her honor, you know, if you can just try to enjoy it, try to spread that kind of positivity, and just be you know, aware of the privilege it is to be able to get around and to have air in your lungs, and just, yeah, that's all I'm trying to really get across.
No, and there's some lovely tributes to Ellen this year. We had Kate of Every Run Club on, and she was good friends with her, and just exact same as you, just the positivity she had was just amazing. And that's probably something everyone should bring with them next Sunday, just a bit of positivity. And
absolutely, it all, energy feeds energy, you know. And it's just like, you never know kind of what other people are going through, you never know any of these things. And she oozed that kind of, that kindness, that compassion. So I think if we could all do it for her, to just turn up, bring that energy, bring that spark, and take all the pressure off, because at the end of the day, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? I mean, A, I've covered the fact you won't be last. And, you know, B, if things blow up, if, look, you know, training, you've done all your training, you've done all the plans, but all the best laid plans of mice and men, as they say, you know, if it just doesn't happen for you on the day, or, you know, you just relax, and just, you can come back next year. It's no big deal. Yeah, what's the worst that's going to happen, really, is kind of my approach. So I hope people can kind of, yeah, do that, and just, yeah, take that pressure off, take the shackles off, just try to enjoy. I mean, last year was probably one of the best year runs of my life, and it was purely because there was no plan, there was no expectation. So yeah, try to just
definitely. And you bring such a
pressure off.
Yeah, like, that's such a fresh attitude to running. Sometimes you see people, if they're 10 seconds off their PB, they're complaining, but, like, this is what you want. Like, do you think that played a part last year in you coming first? I saw you after the race, and you mentioned you didn't even check your watch, I think, halfway through. Like,
I think it's the entire, I think it's the only thing I can come to, because I really wasn't that, there had been genuinely, and when I say it, there had been no plan, there had been no expectation. I was just happy to get around that course. And because of that, I think because I had completely, because I've been that person. I mean, I'm sending, people are probably listening going, like, you know, because I've done the whole thing. Oh, I want to get a sub 3, and I want to, you know, I've done other races, and they've been awful. You know, you're under so much pressure, you're stressed, and they haven't been enjoyable, you know. And I think the difference was, there genuinely was no pressure. And in that, then the body is almost kind of like, it's so kind of absorbed then, and it's able to kind of, I genuinely can't kind of come to anything other than, I think it was just having that complete and utter pressure off. And I think I as well, like, I come from, I stumbled my way into running, but before that I was playing camogie at quite a high level for a number of years. And again, I can probably, if any of my old teammates are listening, they're probably kind of going, Evelyn, Timmy, what are you talking about? Like, you were the girl in the dressing room, almost sick with nerves, you know, around the pressure of performing and turning up. But again, back to my camogie days, like the days that I played my best camogie, it was the days that you weren't putting that pressure over yourself. And then mm-hmm. because you're doing that, it's just amazing then what the body is, you know, able to do. So I really do think it's about kind of taking off the kind of pressure on yourself, definitely.
And
it's easier said than done, don't get me wrong.
Definitely. And like you mentioned, the positive attitude the runners must bring, but like the crowds we see year on year in Cork City are amazing. Like, was there any part of the course where you were like, you know, the legs were maybe gone and like the crowds just carried you?
That's what I say to people. They're kind of like, you know, I think, you know, for people that are doing quite long runs as part of their training blocks and mm-hmm. they're going out and doing maybe, I don't know, God, like 27, 30 kilometers, mm-hmm. but they're doing it by themselves. I think there's a mass, like the difference between doing the 42 with that atmosphere and that crowd, it makes such a difference. You're so just, it's incredible to feel all these people, all these strangers that are just out there giving up their day and just rooting for you and cheering you on. And like, there's no reason for them to do that other than just kind of like, there's something emotional about kind of that connectivity mm-hmm. of it. And that all those people, you feel like as you're going past, like, oh, they, you know, it just gives you, it's almost like, I don't know, it's like a power up if you're on, like, I don't know, if you're playing Mario Kart or something and you hit a mushroom. It's like, you know, someone kind of just gives you an extra cheer or someone's an extra shout, and it just almost feels like you just kind of get that oomph. So again, for people that are going to run this weekend, try to really, you know, harness that energy mm-hmm. of the crowd. And like, you know, some people like prefer to listen to music or that sort of things, but my headphones died actually last year. I remember that. But that was actually one of the really nice things as well, because you're kind of really then just like energy of the crowd, you can really, really feel that. I think use the atmosphere to your advantage when you're running, and thank you to all the supporters, because it really does makes a humongous difference, and it's really, really inspiring to feel all those people behind you.
So we now move on to this time next week, where the Munster final is taking place, and we have Ger with Mark Coleman previewing the Munster hurling final.
Mark, coming up to Munster final, I said to Ben O'Connor already, it's where you want to be as a management team. For the players, a huge occasion lies in store. It's Limerick all over again, but it'll be back here at Super Valley Park, Equiva, the full house. How are preparations going?
Yeah, they're going well, thank God. Just getting the bodies right after the Clare game and after a tough round robin. But like you said, it's where you want to be, especially as a player down here, you know, in the middle of summer, playing in front of a massive crowd here in Park Equiva, Cello crowd. So it's where you want to be.
You've already experienced the atmosphere here many times before, but last weekend against Clare, like, it was really special. You got the job done, but the crowd, and when that goal went in from Brian Hayes, the roar, I mean, you'd be looking for more of the same, and hopefully the public will come out, as you know they will, yep. and get behind you.
Of course, like, there's no better place to play than Páirc Uí in a full house. We're so lucky that we've probably, I don't know, countless times now we're playing in front of full houses here. It's unbelievable. And to hear that roar when a goal goes in, it's just special. Like, so hopefully more of the same. That's the plan anyway the next day.
A huge honour for you to be named as vice-captain, huge honour for your family, huge honour for Blarney GAA Club, and with Dara injured, no big step forward for the media for captain. But in all your years involved with the Cork Senior Hurling Team, being named in this position, this role, a real honour. We don't want to forget that as well, coming into such a big season for you.
Yeah, it is a massive honour for myself and my club and my family and all that, of course. Obviously, we're disappointed Dara isn't able to, you know, line out at the weekend. But, you know, there's plenty of leaders within this group, so, you know, it's not a massive responsibility for myself, because there's so many good fellas around me. But like that, I'm absolutely delighted to be leading this group going out on Sunday.
And that's the thing, this Cork panel, there's a lot of experienced players, there's a lot of young players that have come in as well as captain and vice captain. Like, what's your role? I know they're all leaders in their own right, and they play, they're leaders for their specific clubs, but do you say words before the game? Do you say words in the build up to it, like, to get your chance to have in front of everyone?
Yeah, I suppose it's just a matter of you know, making sure the standards are kept within the group. We have a good core group of fellas, probably, you know, a lot of them around my age, and then there's a good group from those under 20 teams that won All-Ireland as well. There's some fantastic leaders coming through from those teams. But yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, if you see any standards slipping, that you call that out, or you make sure that your training is going right. If there's any, like, anything that needs to be changed and stuff like that. Of course, there's probably things throughout the week you might have to take a couple of meetings with the players and stuff like that, and say a few words then before going out onto the field. But like that, there's plenty of lads who kind of share that workload. And obviously Dara's not playing, but he's doing a lot of that as well still. Like, so there's plenty of fellas around to do it.
10 years in the Cork senior jersey, I mean, that's a fantastic achievement. I mean, in the modern day intercounty hurling, you see guys getting injured. Dara's a prime example, already coming into a Munster final. Has it gone by in the blink of an eye, or sometimes you have to pinch yourself because you are one of the most experienced guys on the panel and your voice carries weight? But 10 years, it's a long time, man.
It is, and it's, you're right, it's gone by in a blink of an eye. Like, you know, you spend, I don't know, you nearly just see yourself as the young fella for a long time, and all of a sudden you're, you know, pushing on 40 or 50 appearances in the championship. And but yeah, look, it's it obviously takes a lot to play 1 year into county, but once you're enjoying it, to be honest, it's easy enough to come in here and be training in Parky Keeve and stuff like that, and you know, you'd want to love it, but I do.
Yeah, you've played under a lot of managers as well. You've obviously before Pat Ryan as well. You spoke about knowing Ben before he came in. You knew the kind of message that he would give, his work with the under 20s and with other clubs. He's been very true to himself. He is, as you see him on camera and off camera, I know you know that. But what's different this year? I mean, the players seem to be empowered a lot. You're allowed to, you talk, not that you're allowed, but you're empowered to talk to the media when the time comes. He puts an awful lot of trust in the players, not that other managers didn't, but is there a discernible difference in how he goes about his business compared to other managers in your time?
That's the whole point. I think he obviously every manager's message is that you want to go out and win every game, and Ben just speaks that, to be fair. You know, he keeps his words short and sweet, and he just straight to the point. But that's kind of it. And like you mentioned, trust there. Like, there's, you have to build a trust between management and players and stuff like that. And you know, I'm sure if we weren't getting results, that trust mightn't be as much. So that's kind of earned. But yeah, like I said, he just wants us to go out and give everything and try and win every game. And he says that both in the media and to us inside, it's the same message. Like, so that's kind of it.
But you can see it, Mark, because you can see like that year the way you are off the field as well. Like, you're honest, you're open about things. He talks about work rate, he talks about effort. He's not interested in the individual. We saw it here last day against Clare, clear example of that. The subs that came on, Shane Kingston, Damien Callahan stepping into the full back role. It is a full squad effort, and everyone seems to be treated the same way, and like, the results prove positive of that.
Yeah, well, I think we play a game plan and we all know that game plan, and after that it's just a matter of all he expects from us is to go out and work hard. And it's very easy to be honest about that then, whether it's in the media or around the place. Like, you can just go out and say, look, all we want from our players and from this squad, go out and work their socks off, and that's all you can do. So yeah,
Limerick again, you've met them so many times. I said the same to your manager. I mean, when you're coming into such a big game, it's a Munster final, how difficult is it to prepare mentally? Physically you'll be on point, obviously it's going to be a huge physical battle on the day itself, but the mentality side of the game is not often talked about. But with this Cork team, been to 2 All-Ireland finals, 1 in Munster, National League, you're on a good run. What's the mentality, and how do you prepare mentally just before a huge game with so much pressure on you coming into it?
I suppose mentally you just have to kind of really just go into your preparation. Like, it's easy to get up for the big games. Like, you're playing in front of 40, 50,000 people down here in Parky Keeve. If you're not getting, if that doesn't get you excited, you know, you're in the wrong sport and you're probably doing the wrong thing. So you kind of have to remember that sometimes. Of course, it's difficult to come out and, you know, after a long day's work and come in training and be at 100% every single night. That could be difficult. But once you kind of get here, you're around a good group of lads, and it's very easy to kind of reset and kind of snap into that kind of high performance environment. So that's kind of it, and making sure that once you're away from it, you probably do have to switch off and keep yourself fresh and go in and do whatever it is you enjoy doing outside of hurling and not getting completely absorbed by it. But once you come in here, it's 100% focus, and you're fully committed, because if you're not, you're kind of coming in, you're wasting your time, you don't get much out of it. But yeah, it's easy to kind of click into that high performance zone when you're, once you come in the doors here and you're around all the lads.
It's a question I asked Ben before, so can you switch off? You've experience of switching off, but for the younger players, there's so much hype around the Cork senior hurling panel at the moment. Not an easy thing to do either.
It's not, and especially, like I always say, social media. Like, you'll be scrolling and Twitter or whatever, and something can pop up, and it's easy, especially for young fellas. You know, like, this is all new to a lot of them in the last maybe 2 years, and it's all a lot of positive stuff, which is easy to get sucked into. But I suppose we've been around long enough now. There's plenty of negatives there as well, and you realise after a while that, like, all that noise is just noise, and whether it's good or bad, it's going to affect you. You know, it's going to affect your performance. So it's very important to just be able to switch off and try and avoid that as much as possible.
How much would it mean to you to lift the trophy on the day and win a Munster championship, win a Munster medal? I know you've got medals in your pocket already, but for this group, especially for the younger lads that mightn't necessarily have won a senior medal before, what would that? It's a huge challenge, obviously, and Limerick are going to bring it, and it's going to take a mammoth effort. I'm not suggesting it won't, but manifesting and trying to lift the trophy going into the All-Ireland Championship, how much of a boost would that be?
That'd be unbelievable, but like you said, it's going to be a mammoth task, and we're under no illusions that we're playing John Limerick, who are setting the standard for the last 10 years. But for me personally, it'd be a massive honour, especially leading up the group. It's something you always dream of, is lifting trophies for Cork, so to have the opportunity to even do that is very special.
So that's it from me, Orla O'Leary, on the Big Red Bench today. But I will catch you all of next weekend. Up next, we have Mags Blackburn with Green on Red.
The Big Red Bench.
Big Red Bench.
On Cork's
Red FM.
Red FM.